In a world in which we too often look out for ourselves at the expense of others, God calls us to be different. Let nothing be done through strife and vainglory. Welcome to Gateway to Joy. Here's Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliot talking with you again today about keeping a quiet heart. Yesterday, I read you one of my favorite poems from Amy Carmichael. Have you ever heard of Amy Carmichael? She was an Irish missionary who went to India, established an amazing work called Donavur Fellowship, and God enabled her to write at least 40 books. I think about 20 of those books were written after she was an invalid. And she taught me many things about keeping a quiet heart. And this is one of her poems. Thou art the Lord who slept upon the pillow. Thou art the Lord who soothed the furious sea. What matter beating wind and tossing billow, if only we are in the boat with thee? Hold us in quiet through the age-long minute while thou art silent and the wind is shrill. Can the boat sink while thou, dear Lord, art in it? Can the heart faint that waiteth on thy will? The Lord wants to give us a quiet heart. He wants to teach us to trust in Him, to trust in His sovereignty. And I suppose that one of the most severe tests of my trust in His sovereignty was the time so many years ago when God had enabled me, after the death of my first husband, Jim Elliot, to make contact with two women that belonged to the tribe that had killed him and four other missionaries. These two women had lived with me for nearly a year. We were living in a Quechua home. They were not Quechuas. They were what were then called Aucas. And I was desperately struggling to try to learn something of their language. They were the world's worst teachers, and I had a great difficulty. But I did succeed in understanding just barely enough of what they were saying to me to know that they were telling me they were going to go home. As soon as that palm fruit was ripe, they would point to the palm fruit and they'd say, when that fruit is ripe, we're going home. And we told our people that we would come back in the time of the ripe palm fruit. So we're going home and we want you to come with us. Now that would not have been such a major decision for me. I would have leaped at the opportunity to go to the Aucas. But I had a little daughter who was then 2 years old. Was I supposed to take her in to live with a tribe of naked people who had killed her father? Did that make any sense? Trust in His sovereignty. It was only as I focused on the Word of God and continually asked His guidance and asked Him to deliver me from anxiety that I was able finally to discern His will and to keep a quiet heart. Psalm 118 says, in my anguish, I cried to the Lord, and He answered by setting me free. The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? The Lord is with me. He is my helper. That's Psalm 118, 5-7. The time came when I had to make the decision to go. And the Lord opened the way in a most wonderful way. He wants to teach us not only to trust in Him, not only to trust in His sovereignty, but also to trust in His love. Are you in a situation that makes you really doubt whether God loves you? You can't even imagine that a loving God would allow such things to happen to you or to your family, to someone you love. God moves in mysterious ways. We can't fathom the depth of His love and the perfection of His understanding of what we're going through. We find it very hard to allow our children to suffer. God is God. He knows the end from the beginning, and He knows what will best serve our sanctification. He is perfectly wise, perfectly confident, perfectly constant, and underneath are always the everlasting arms. George MacDonald has a scene in one of his novels where a young man, a strong young man in the Highlands of Scotland, suddenly finds himself in a flood. And there's a girl who needs to be rescued. And this young man picks this girl up in his strong arms and he holds her as he stands there in the flood, holds her above the level of the water. And the water is obviously rising rather rapidly. And the girl looks up into his face in terror, and she says, "Are you sure the flood will not drown us?" Now listen to his answer. "Are you sure that the flood will not drown us?" And he says, "No. I am not sure that the flood will not drown us, but I am sure that no flood can ever sweep us out of the everlasting arms." Don't forget that. No flood, no matter how raging, can ever sweep you or me out of the everlasting arms. We will have a quiet heart if we trust God, if we trust in His sovereignty, and if we trust in His love. Now, what kind of a difference is this going to make in our lives? Well, first of all, I'll give you four differences. I may not get through all four today. I'll give you all of them tomorrow if we don't finish today. But here are some of the differences that a quiet heart is going to make. First of all, and this is for the sake of other people, you begin to qualify as an instrument of God's peace. One of my favorite prayers is St. Francis of Assisi's prayer, "Lord, make me an instrument of thy peace." Now, how am I going to qualify as an instrument of God's peace if I personally don't have a quiet heart? I will have a quiet heart if it rests solidly on the love of God. And then I will be in a position to give someone else his peace. Where there is hatred, to sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is sadness, joy. Secondly, I will be able to do more for my family because God has given me a quiet heart. Is your home a peaceful one? Is your room a place of peace? Is your kitchen a place where songs are sung and hearts are lifted up to God and dishes are washed for His glory and cooking is done, whether you personally like cooking or not, gladly and as an offering to Christ? I like the motto that I believe Ruth Graham has in her kitchen. It says, "Divine service is conducted here three times daily." Your quiet heart will make a difference in your home, even in your kitchen. Thirdly, your energy is directed toward God and not toward yourself, which means that you will have the ability to work instead of worry. We get so worried sometimes we can't even work. And we sit down and we have a little pity party and we accomplish absolutely nothing except selfishness. So a quiet heart will help your energy to be directed toward God rather than toward yourself. Martin Luther wrote, "He taught us, God taught us, to work and to watch, but never to be worried or anxious. Commit all to Him and live in the serene tranquility of God with a quiet heart." Is your energy directed toward God? Are you rushing around trying to find counselors or making phone calls because you need help and you're so desperate? Do you first turn to the Word of God? That's what I would advise you to do. Always go first to the Word of God. You may find the answer staring you in the face as soon as you open it up. God's Word is a lamp for our feet, a light to our paths. It is given to us for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. Isn't it enough? And then, fourthly, a difference that a quiet heart will make is instead of being frustrated, we will learn to accept what God has given to us. Psalm 16:5 says, Lord, you have assigned me my portion and my cup, and have made my lot secure. If I refuse to accept that lot which has been assigned, my heart will not be quiet, and I will be a frustrated old woman. In acceptance lies peace. Another word that Amy Carmichael taught me many years ago. In acceptance lies peace. What is it in your life that you can't do anything to change, but you wish you could? Since you can't change it, how about accepting it? But it's wrong, you say. It's terrible. We've got to change it. If you can't do it, and maybe God doesn't want to do it, you have only one choice, and that is acceptance. May God give us a quiet heart so that we may be instruments of His peace, that we may be more available for our families in bringing peace to them, so that our energies will be directed toward God and not towards ourselves, and so that we will, instead of frustration, find acceptance.
Growing up, Elizabeth Elliot understood that studying the Bible is a vital priority for the Christian life. And ladies, we can also establish a solid foundation for our lives through daily Bible reading and prayer. Join us next time as we think about the eternal truth of God's Word here on Gateway to Joy. Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your Gateway to Joy. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.